Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Mother Parvati curses Chitraketu, text 21.
Are you going to?
It's 21 up there, right? Okay, let's hope so. Eka Srijati Bhutani Bhagavan Atma Mayaya Esha Bandham Cha Moksham Cha Sukham Dukham Cha Nishkala Eka Srijati Bhutani Bhagavan Atma Mayaya Esham Bandham Cha Moksham Cha Sukham Dukham Cha Nishkala Eka One Srijati creates Bhutani, different varieties of living entities. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atma Mayaya, by his personal potencies. Esham, of all the conditioned souls. Bandham, the conditional life. Cha, and Moksham, the liberated life. Cha, also Sukham, happiness. Dukham, distresses. Cha, and Nishkala, not affected by the material qualities. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one, unaffected by the conditions of the material world. He creates all the conditioned souls by his own personal potency. Because of being contaminated by the material energy, the living entity is put into ignorance and thus into different conditions of bondage. Sometimes, by knowledge, the living entity is given liberation. In Sattva-gun and Rajagun, he is subjected to happiness and distress.
I'll just read the whole purport, then read it.
So, purport by Srila Prabhupada. The question may be raised, why the living entities are situated in different conditions and who has arranged this? The answer is that it has been done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead without anyone's help. The Lord has His own energies, Parashya Shaktir Vivataya Shruyate, and one of them, namely the external energy, creates the material world and the varieties of happiness and distress for the conditioned souls under the supervision of the Lord. The material world consists of three modes of material nature, Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun. By Sattvagun, the Lord maintains the material world. By Rajagun, He creates it. And by Tamagun, He annihilates it. After the varieties of living entities are created, they're subject to happiness and distress according to their association. When they're in Sattvagun, the mode of goodness, they feel happiness. When in Rajagun, they're distressed. And when in Tamagun, they have no sense of what to do or what is right and wrong. Again, Eka Srijati Bhutani Bhagavan Atmamayaya Esham Bandham Chamoksham Cha Sukham Dukham Chanishkala. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is one. Unaffected by the conditions of the material world, He creates all the conditioned souls by His own personal potency. Because of being contaminated by the material energy, the living entity is put into ignorance and thus into different conditions of bondage. Sometimes, by knowledge, the living entity is given liberation. In Sattvagun and Rajagun, he is subjected to happiness and distress. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastucha Deshitarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Kaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Panchakapatarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So this is Chitraketu expressing his feelings and realizations upon being cursed by Mother Parvati. And of course, because Chitraketu is actually a very elevated and amazing devotee of the Lord, his understanding, his realization is very authoritative and wonderful. We see sometimes that when some people are cursed in the descriptions in our literatures, occasionally you find someone is cursed by someone else and they go in, they become very emotional and somehow try to get forgiveness on the spot. But Chitraketu, his perspective on his situation is very different from that. We do a seminar sometimes on the demons in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. And, well, one interesting point is that maybe around half of them became demons because they were cursed by Devasa Muni. That's an interesting point in itself. But basically, all of them, when they're cursed by Devasa Muni, they immediately become very emotional and try to get let off the curse. And, well, some of them, the curse is reduced. Just, you can be a demon for a few yugas. And, well, and then you'll be delivered by the Supreme Lord. But anyway, here we see Chitraketu, his whole understanding and his whole attitude is totally different. And he says, I accept your curse. And why does he just accept the curse just immediately? Because he understands this is the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore it is the best thing for me. And as he's explaining in the last few verses, Chitraketu is saying that everything's going on under the control of the Lord, and therefore it's all perfect. We see very similar in the case of Maharaj Parikshit. In the earlier parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, he's also cursed. He's cursed by Sringi, who is like just a partially qualified Brahmin boy. And strictly speaking, according to the rules and regulations of cursing, so to speak, he probably shouldn't have been cursed. And when Sringi's father, Shamika Rishi, understood that this is what had happened, Then he immediately came to Maharaj Parikshit. And he apologized on behalf of his unqualified son. And he said, you know, if you like, I'll just remove the curse completely. And you just carry on with your life and just carry on. So you can imagine many people, if they were told that, if they'd somehow been cursed, they would just jump at the opportunity. Yes, please, remove the curse, let me live on, thank you. But Maharaj Parikshit said, no, thank you very much, but I understand it's the will of the Lord, it's what he wants for me, so I accept it. So this is the perspective of the devotee, or at least ideally it should be the perspective of the devotee in practically any situation. The devotee understands that not a blade of grass moves without the actual sanction, the actual approval of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I therefore accept whatever is going on by the will of the Lord. I accept that, and I will live in those terms. And therefore, for the devotee, a happy type of situation, a distressing type of situation, the devotee is not really worried so much by these things. And therefore, at some point around about here, Lord Shiva, he expresses his appreciation. It's verse 28, actually. He expresses his appreciation for Chitraketu and his very elevated state of consciousness. This is a very famous verse. Narayana parasarve nakutaschana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu apitulyarta darshanam. Well, just in the verse before that, Shiva says, my dear Parvati, just see the greatness of the devotees. just translate what I said. Their great souls are not interested in any kind of material happiness. And just translate what I say. And in this verse, Narayana Parasarve, devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. for such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Anyway, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada begins by raising the question, why, how is it that different living entities are situated in different conditions of life? And who has arranged this? And of course the answer is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has arranged it particularly for the devotees, but actually for everyone. The Supreme Lord is behind everything. And particularly for the devotees, but actually for all living entities. By His mercy, the conditioned souls are going through whatever they're going through in material existence. And it's His mercy, because it's part of a great program for reforming them and bringing them back to Krishna consciousness. But of course, the conditioned souls, they don't see it in that way, and they have so many different ideas about how things are working, which generally are all quite wrong. Yes. So in the first canto, there's interesting discussion between Maharaj Parikshit and the personality of religion in the form of a bull. Probably you're familiar with that part of the Bhagavatam. It's the 16th and 17th chapters of the first canto. And Maharaj Parikshit walks in, or he arrives in a situation where the personality of religion in the form of a bull is under a terrible attack by the personality of Kali Yuga. So Kali has already cut off three of the legs of the bull, and he's in the process of cutting off the fourth leg. So Maharaj Parikshit arrives and sees all of this going on. And as a powerful Kshatriya king, of course, he wants to act to correct the situation decisively. But he doesn't just kill Kali. First of all, he asks the bull, "Who has done this to you?"
Yeah.
And again, it's a sort of situation where you can imagine some person is being abused and the authorities come and ask, who has done this to you? Then the abused person will immediately say, you know, it was him, there he is. And in that case, of course, it was obvious because Kali was in the process still. But the personality of religion didn't just point out Kali and say, there he is, get him. Basically said, well, I don't know really. And he says, well, different people have different ideas. Oh, some say it's just the material nature. Some say it's us. Some say that you can't say. It's just Shishi Panchatattva ki. And you know, he speaks like three or four verses in which he just puts forward different ideas, possible ideas of possible explanations. And the sort of the bottom line, the basic point, is that it's just happening by the will of the Lord. And Maharaj Parikshit, having heard all that, he appreciates Dharma, the personality of religion, very much. You are speaking in such wonderful ways, I can understand you are the personality of religion. But otherwise, in this material world, for the ordinary materialistic people, it's extremely difficult to really understand how things are happening, why things are happening to me. Yeah, and to really attribute responsibility to someone, it's not so easy actually. And Maharaj Parikshit, when he's responding to the personality of religion, he says, that you have spoken correctly according to the standard that the person who perpetrates some crime is guilty, but the person who identifies the perpetrator is as guilty as the one who perpetrates the crime. What do you think of that? That's an interesting perspective on things. Yeah. Someone commits a crime. Someone identifies. Ah, there he is. He's the one who did it. But Maharaj Parikshit says that the one who identifies the perpetrator is as guilty as the perpetrator. Anyway, that's a very deep subject matter, and I'm sure it's worthy of a lot of discussion and, you know, books being written about it. But at least in terms of karma, we can understand that if someone does something to you, someone walks up to you perhaps and punches you in the nose, and then of course you are shocked and disturbed, and the natural reaction is to identify that you're a rascal. And you should be punished. But in terms of karma, you have been punched in the nose because previously you punched someone in the nose. Yeah. So really, you are guilty and you're just getting what you deserve. But when people are on the material platform, it's often extremely difficult to really evaluate such situations, the situations that people find themselves in. There's a famous example, maybe some of you have heard of it. It's the example of the man with the smoking gun. There's a man, he has a gun, the gun is smoking. And there is a dead man on the ground. He died from being shot by the gun. So the police come and say to the man with the gun that you're a criminal, you killed him. And the man with the smoking gun, he says, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, it was the gun. So this is the man with the smoking gun. It can be difficult to really evaluate things nicely. But at least the devotees, even if they don't understand all the intricacies behind how things are going on and how some particular event happened, they know that Krishna's behind everything and Krishna is looking after me, so whatever happens, it's really for my betterment in Krishna consciousness. Just like now, having just finished the Kartik month, now we're in the month of Katyayani. So this is the Kityayani month. This is when that pastime happened, described in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, of the gopis worshipping Kityayani to get Krishna as their husband. But Krishna, ever playful, at the end of the month, Krishna stole their clothes. And initially, of course, the gopis reacted in a certain way. They chastised Krishna a little. But eventually they were forced to come out in front of him without any clothes. And the understanding is that they had been praying to Krishna, or praying that Krishna would become their husband, and in this way he accepted them as his wives. Because a woman cannot appear without clothes in front of anyone other than her husband. So this is actually why Krishna did this. And the gopis understood it. Yeah, once it became clear to them what was going on, they understood Krishna is reciprocating with our desire. So when they got their clothes back and they left to go home, They were not angry with Krishna. They were not thinking, just wait, Krishna, we're going to steal your clothes. They left that place chanting the glories of Krishna. They were very happy, understanding Krishna has accepted us, our lives are complete. Of course, Krishna did that. That was what they wanted, and Krishna did that, but not in the way they expected. And we have to be ready for that in our lives also. Krishna is a very creative thinker. And therefore life in Krishna consciousness is generally anything other than boring. And you never know what is Krishna going to do, but he's going to do something, don't worry. And part of the process of developing in Krishna consciousness and progressing in Krishna consciousness is to be able to accept what Krishna does and relate to it positively and constructively as his mercy for our progress. Even for the materialists, ultimately it's like that. That they get smashed in different ways, it's amazing. Who would have dreamed that through industrialization and increasing our material facility through industrialization, we would get global warming? I don't think anyone expected that. But it's Krishna smashing them and trying to push them in the direction of thinking that our whole program, our whole process of material civilization is wrong and we should correct ourselves. So here's Chichiketu, you could say, just being smashed so heavily. I mean, it is so heavy, you become a demon. And he became a monster. But he understood. This is the mercy of the Lord. He accepted it wholeheartedly. And ultimately, as a result, he went back to Godhead. So we're not on the level of Chitraketu, of course, but still, Krishna's watching all of us. And he's arranging different things for us. We should try to accept them in the same spirit. And then we'll make progress, and one morning we'll wake up back in Goloka Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.